For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Emma Isaac. I'm here with Andra Smith Hansen, and she is helping run the community conversation that's going to be happening this month. She's also a faculty member at BYU Idaho in the communications department. How are you today, Andra?
Doing well. Thanks, Emma. Yeah. Good to be here.
Wonderful. Well, can you tell me a little bit about what a community conversation is and kind of when it's going to be happening?
Okay, so a community conversation in general is built to help community members from various sectors and settings and circumstances come together and engage in order to address a significant problem that is impacting, you know, a community more generally, and to attempt to problem solve together. The goal of a community conversation is to really be based on mutual respect, on deliberative dialogue. There are at least three outcomes of a community conversation. One is to increase awareness and empathy and thus reduce stigma. A second goal of a community conversation is to facilitate collaboration so that people kind of get to know what other people are doing and possibly see points of intersection where they could work together in response to an issue. And then the third is to identify constructive actions that can be taken, like on a grassroots level. And so we do have a community conversation coming up on June 23rd from 7 to 9 p.m. It is in Idaho Falls, and it is at American Legion Hall, which is downtown on Constitution Way in Idaho Falls. The topic of that conversation, I think, is going to be relevant to many communities in Southeast Idaho and really Idaho and the country more generally, and that is addiction and recovery. That's a really big problem that causes a lot of pain and hardship for people across sectors and settings. And so we are hopeful that people will find a lot of value in this particular community conversation and that we can come together and kind of find ways of making inroads with that issue.
Thank you. That's really interesting. How long has BYU Idaho or yourself in general been involved in community conversations?
Well, I'm a faculty lead for an emphasis in the communication department that's strategic organizational communication. And my background, I worked on Capitol Hill and I've worked in nonprofit settings and I've done a lot of, I guess I would think of myself as a communication specialist in problem solving. Like I really am interested in the ways that we can use communication to solve problems together. And so it's probably been for about the last 5 or 6 years that, in fact, it would be 5 years, I guess, about that we had our first conversation. For years before that, I was studying content from the National Issues Forum, the Center for Democracy, the Kettering Foundation. I'm just really, really interested in peaceful problem solving and thinking past partisan dynamics so that we actually can talk to each other and listen to each other and use both reasoning and empathy to come up with good solutions that, you know, really maximize opportunity for thriving and, you know, peaceful relations and so forth. And so I've been studying that stuff. And then the department created this emphasis, which was really awesome. And I was allowed to then kind of create community engagement opportunities for students so that they can learn on the ground. And I really am passionate about that. I'm also passionate about, like, leaving the community better than we found it, if at all possible. And so I began creating community partnerships with organizations that do good stuff in the community. And community conversations were a high priority for me. And fortunately, there have been a number of organizations that see the value of that. This particular community conversation is heavily driven by Center for Hope. It's a robust recovery center in Idaho Falls. It's co-located with the Behavioral Health Crisis Center there, and they're actually having literally thousands of visits, you know, within a couple of months' time for their support groups and so forth. And so it's really wonderful to partner with them. They do so much good and bring so much compassion into the community. And I think, you know, even within you know, the BYUI community, we see that students are sometimes, you know, cause a lot of pain and struggle because of an addiction of whatever sort, and that finding the resources and the support and the kind of collaborative spirit around that can really make a difference. And so we've been doing it for a number of years. We've kind of tweaked it here and there. We've done several for Idaho Department of Correction. We've done some on adolescent behavioral health. We've done a couple on suicide prevention, one in partnership with Madison Memorial Hospital. So we've become kind of a part of it. It's really nice to have the pandemic restrictions. You know, we're getting safe enough in our communities to kind of lift those restrictions a little bit. So it's been a while since we've been able to get out into the community like this, and it's something that I think that I'm really, really looking forward to, and I think the students are too.
Well, you know, with addiction and recovery, that's can be sometimes a heavy topic. Who all is invited to join and participate in the community conversation?
Okay, so one thing that I should note, it's kind of a roundtable format, and so we have facilitators. We've chosen three table topics. So we have one table topic that's focused on resources and support, like where do I find resources to help me and how can I get support? And the facilitators for that include Devere Hunt. He is the CEO at Badger Inc. and he's an owner of Rehabilitative Health Services. And then Nancy Espeseth is the director at Center for Hope. So we have professional facilitators at each of the tables. That's one of the tables. Another of the tables is policing and understanding. And we're super excited. We have Sam Hulse, the Bonneville County Sheriff, is one of the facilitators there, as well as Glenda Thompson. And she is the manager of District 7 Probation and Parole. So I've got really qualified, insightful people helping to facilitate at that table. And then our third table is entitled Opportunities and Success. And again, we're really excited about our facilitators. We have Elaine Bean. She is the Bonneville County Chief Deputy Prosecuting Attorney. And then we have Stephanie Taylor Silva, who is a reentry specialist for Idaho Department of Correction, facilitating there. So we have professional facilitators. But when we extend the invitations, we try very hard to get diverse audiences there. So we're hoping very much to have good representation from the recovery community, individuals who are living this issue every day, who have felt the impact, who have real insights as to what helped them and what didn't, what could be constructive and what might not be. And then we're inviting legislators, we're inviting community leaders of various sorts, we're inviting law enforcement officers, healthcare providers, educators, community service providers more generally. So we're really hoping to get a wide range of representation at this community conversation and to kind of have it be a microcosm of the community itself. We're also inviting people who provide services to bring their pamphlets or literature. We'll give them a table or a booth if they want it. The goal of information swapping is high. It's a high priority. And so any way that people can find more information that might be helpful to them, we want to encourage it. It's very much a nonpartisan problem-solving ethic that underlies this. It's not at all trying to tip the scales one direction or another, except to be constructive, reduce pain, solve problems, and create the opportunity to thrive.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great benefit to the community. Is there anything else that you would want people to know beforehand or about the conversation in general?
Well, I do think that sometimes people hear community conversation and they just don't have an experience of it, so they don't know what it would be like. I strongly, strongly encourage people to attend. Even in my little world, I look around and I think in my family, as I look through my extended family, as I look at all of my friends and their extended families, I don't know if I know one family who hasn't been impacted in some way by issues related to addiction and the need for recovery. And when you've observed firsthand the way that that kind of derails somebody, or it can really limit their happiness or their potential, it can disrupt their relationships, and it can just really, put a fence around the potential of their life during the time that they're in active use. And it's wonderful to see the strength and resilience that people have and to come to a conversation that's hope-based and solution-oriented, and to realize that when we do come together and we do think seriously about it, we can greatly empower ourselves to make a difference. Like, it's not just a hopeless situation. There's stuff that we can do. and little steps. Everything starts with little steps. And so I hope that people will come, and I hope that people will kind of see past the stigma of we can't talk about it and engage it and find constructive ways to, you know, benefit ourselves and the people we love and our community more generally.
Well, thank you so much, Andrea, for answering a few of our questions about the upcoming community conversation.
It's a privilege to be here today. I thank you so much for giving some attention to it. It's an important topic, and I hope that people hear it. But thank you so, so much for your generosity of having me here today.